Praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. You know, cloud of witnesses of God's great goodness unto his children. Father, we thank you. The angel of the Lord does a cap around us, delivering us. Father, we thank you. Blessed be the glorious name. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a light unto our feet and that light unto our path. Amen. Therefore, in this dark baptism, God's darkness has covered the heart and God has the people. But because of your word in us, we will never walk in darkness. So we joy our way here to gather around the word again as we read them this morning. Father God, give us, O Lord God, yet a better understanding of it, Lord. Let it mix together with faith in us. Father, in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be profitable to us today and all the days to come. Amen. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
By his grace this morning. Transcending the loss of nature. Transcending the loss of nature, meaning overruling the loss of nature. Well, we know Christ is the creator and the preserver of the universe. I can call it universes, but we say there are worlds, right? Science found that out, right? How many centuries? So it's the preserver, the creator and the preserver. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Revelation 19:13 says, toward the end of that, his name, is called the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, he says. So verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Praise the Lord. Verse 10 says, he was in the Word. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So Colossians 1:16 says, for by him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our God, the Lord Jesus, who does nothing, he does nothing by accident at all. He is not random in his dreams. He is not chaotic. And he is not confused. Indeed, is what tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion at all, but the author of peace. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's a God of plan, regularity, power, and divine order. That's our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about transcending the laws of nature, right? Everything God made, operates by laws. And all kind of laws, he has natural laws. And these are fixed laws, really. And the Lord placed them in position in the physical world at creation and so forth. Maintaining stability, meaning this natural law, stability, predictability, and so on. These natural laws reveal its wisdom and consistency. They include such laws as the law of gravity, the law of governing the seasons, our reproduction, cause and effect laws. Many, many laws he put in there and something like that, but this morning, we to zero in on, transcending, or if you like, overruling natural laws. Natural laws govern the way God made things to work in the normal scenario, in the normal course of things. That's what the natural law is and something like that, the normal way things work in the world and something like that, He has also covered the moral laws. Moral laws are God's eternal standard of right and wrong. They reveal his holiness and righteousness. Then there are spiritual laws too. And these are the invisible, God-given principles that consistently govern how the spiritual realm functions. So the spiritual laws transcend all laws. You know, yes, they transcend all laws, they overrule all laws when there is a need for it. For God is a spirit. We are told in John 4:24, right? God is a spirit, right? So spiritual laws transcend or can overrule any of the laws as God will, according to his divine providence and purpose, and so on. And so the Lord transcends or overrules all creation. He is absolutely free. The creator and the sustainer and the governor of all. He is free to transcend, if you like, or overrule any of his laws. That is, when I say laws, I mean the natural way that he made him to work and so on, that, you know. So why? Because, like I read before, he is the creator, the Lord of all. So he can overrule any of the laws he has created, right? For they are but the expression of his creative mind. Well, transcending a natural law does not mean that he destroyed them, because he didn't destroy them, but temporarily suspended for a higher purpose. That's why he does that and so on, that, you know. So when God overrules or overrides or transcend natural law, that is, repeating myself, the usual way how things work, by some special expression of his will, we call it a miracle. So a miracle actually is God transcending the natural laws, generally speaking. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is a short definition of a miracle. It's a miracle when God transcends, overrules the natural law. That's a miracle. We call it a miracle, right? That's right. So anyway, so to God, when he does that, it's just another of his works, really, you know. Thus, the Lord Jesus refers to his miracles. He called them works. I can show many scriptures. So they are miracles. He called them works. In all those things, let me see in John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So he referred to his miracles as works. In John 10:25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do are in my Father's name, I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Then verse 32 of the same chapter, Jesus answered them and so on. Many good works, you see, I'm saying that he called his miracle works, right? Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? He said, 37 verse 8, if I do not the work of my Father, believe me not. And but if I do, though he believe me not, believe the works. Believe the miracles, that you may know. And believe that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. So many of the functions of life that we take for granted are based upon the faith that is ingrained in your brain and my brain, you see. That the natural world will always function or operate, always as it has. For example, the sun will set tonight and it will rise tomorrow. Water from lakes, from seas, from oceans and so forth will evaporate, and then it will condense, like you see, and when they are so heavy in the condensation and so on, then it will fall back to the heart as rain, right? That happens all the time, right? So anyway, we have faith in all those things, right? So we talk about that later and so on, like that, believing that the world we always operate, as God says you should normally and so forth. So the true reality is that God created the universe, the world, and all the laws of physics that we all count on. Gravity exists because God created it, and it exists throughout the universe. I will speak a lot about this law of gravity before we go on and so on, like that, Anyway, so gravity exists because God created it. And you know what? It exists throughout the universe. What do you mean? For example, the Earth's gravity constantly pulls you and I down. and every object, yeah, are sitting here because of the gravity of the earth pulling them, right? That's what happens. You know, there's a law of gravity. It's all over the place. It's ubiquitous throughout the universe and some of that, you know. So all objects, you know, they obey that law and some of that, you know. And even our own heart. I'm saying that this law of gravity is just all over the universe. Even our own heart itself, you know, stays in its orbit around the sun. They call the sun's gravity, pulls it inward towards the sun itself. Another thing is this. That's another law. The law of inertia. Why the heart inertia creates an effect that puts the earth away from the sun. The gravity of the sun, because of the massive mass, pulls the earth towards itself as gravity. Another law called the law of inertia, you know, put the earth away. These two forces create a balancing force that put the earth in its orbit and doesn't go away. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
See? So, and you know, the Bible is the first scientific book, eh? Praise the Lord. It's a book of science, book of prophecy, and a book of history. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God created all those things and all that, you know. So anyway, gravity is not limited to our solar system. In fact, all the other planets around the sun obey the same law of gravity and inertia. All of them. That's why even the moon itself going around our earth, you know, and something like that, they do the same thing, you know. So the law of gravity is just all over the universe and so on. So even far beyond our heart or our solar system, the gravity is not even limited to our solar system alone. You know, God created it as a universal law. That is, it exists throughout the universe. And one of the ways that God revealed this to mankind is right in his word. In his questions to Job, in Job 38:31, so I'm saying gravity is all over the universe, right? Not only in our solar system. So the way God revealed that to us, before science know anything about it, is in Job 38:31, in one of his questions to Job. Can thou bind the swift influences of the Pleiades? Or lose the bands of Orion? Can you do it, Job? Well, this reference to Orion is one of the most fascinating astronomical allusions in the Bible. Orion, as we all know by now, is one of the most recognizable constellations. Constellation means a grouping, right? You know, of stars and so on, in the night sky. It is characterized by three bright stars forming Orion's belt. You all see that every night almost, you know. Two bright stars also marking the shoulders, and two stars marking the feet. And the Great Nebula. A nebula is a cloud, a cloudy thing, you know, neon-like cloud. You know, call it nebula and something like that, you know. And constellation in the night sky, something like that, you know. So anyway, we see that where I'm going is this. So Orion is visible from almost every part of the world, and has been known since ancient times. Now, back to our question, I was asking Job, what are those bands? When science came to know later, the bands are actually the mutual gravitational forces. Talking about natural forces, right? Gravitational force, right? So I'm saying it's all about the universe. So the bands of Orion are actually the mutual gravitational forces that bind the Orion constellation, meaning the stars of it, keeping its stars in their respective positions all throughout the ages. Can't change. God fixed it at that time, you know. Even ancient people noticed that Orion's belt, the stars therein, maintain a stable alignment throughout the centuries. And even tonight, doing the same thing, right? Those three stars in the bed, they are always like that. They don't move. And the whole structure is like that since God created this, right? So those are the bands, the mutual gravitational forces that hold them together. It's what God is talking about. Science came to know that much more, I don't know how many centuries later and so on like that, you know. So what God was asking Job is, can you loosen those cosmic forces that hold these stars together, Job? Can you do it? You couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. Of course, only God. Only God could do that and so on like that, you know. He asked Job again, how about the Pleiades? You know, can you, you know, you see? You see, the Pleiades Can you buy the sweet influences thereof? The Pleiades is a cluster of hot blue stars located in the constellation Taurus. It is commonly visible as 6 or 7 stars to a naked eye, but actually contains hundreds of stars, maybe up to 250 stars in that cluster and so on. That, you know, if you have a telescope or anything like that, bound together by their mutual gravitational forces. We are saying that gravity is just universal. God made it that way and so on. That, you know. So anyway, so by their mutual, you know, gravitational, and God was asking Job, can you, you know, make these forces that bind those stars, you know, or the planet? Can you make them to? Can you create those forces that bind them together? You couldn't do it anyway. And only God who created the Pleiades can make the forces that bind them together and so on. So we can generally say that gravity, talking about the transcending the laws of nature, or that kind of thing. Gravity is actually God's created invisible glue of the universe, so to say, that governs the motions of celestial bodies. More than that, binds solar system together and even galaxies. That, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ is not only the creator of all, but the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 1:3, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Praise the Lord. Give Him all the glory in there and so on. So one can cite numerous natural events or the normal order of things. I want to say that way, as long as you know. There's some of them. The sun rises because the earth rotates, and the earth rotates because God made it so. Praise the Lord. We breathe, talking about some natural phenomena and so on. You know, we breathe because God created us to draw nutrients. That's right. From the air around us, which also God created the air. Time passes. Just all kind of natural events, right? There are too many, right? Just name a few of them. Time passes in a linear fashion. What do I mean? Time moves forward in a straight one-directional sequence with events happening one after the other. So you have past, present, and future. Praise the Lord. It's always that way. You know, so trees bloom and they blossom and regenerate year after year because God created them to work that way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mountains sit where He placed them because He created them to stay there. But they also must obey Him, you know, because He is the Lord. He can move them if He wanted to. So I can keep on going of this natural events and so on. There is also the supernatural. So, wherein God, you know, the creator, exercises lordship over His creation and commands it to operate outside the natural way that they are made. That is, made them to act outside the normal way He created them to do. And here are some examples of many that throughout the Bible existed. In fact, the Bible is full of it. Where God will overrule, will transcend the normal way that He created things to do. Let's run through a few of them in the Bible. I mean, normally, a 100-year-old people do not give birth to children, do they? That's not normal, right? Praise the Lord. But the Creator overrule and transcend that law for Abraham and Sarah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Water doesn't turn to blood, but God, in Egypt, overruled and the waters of Egypt did turn to blood under the ministry of Moses. Seas do not split wide open to allow millions of people to pass through as on the dry land, do they? But God overruled, transcended that law, and so on that, you know. The children of Israel, the Red Sea opened up. God overruled the law and so on, and split it open, and they walk on dry land. Even the Jordan River too, and so on, open for Joshua and the children of Israel. You even open for Elijah and Elisha, and later on Elisha by himself. Praise the Lord. Many of those things Water doesn't just spring forth from a rock for millions of people to drink. That's not natural, right?
Yeah.
But the Creator overruled. He transcended that law that he created. So he did for the children of Israel, you know, in the wilderness. In fact, we are told in 1 Corinthians 10:4, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord. The Creator, he can overrule, he can transcend any of those laws and so on. Talking about transcending these natural laws, right? Food doesn't just continue accumulating on the ground every night for 40 years to feed millions of people, do they? I don't think so. But the Creator transcended that rule, so God overruled it, so that for 40 years, manna came down from heaven for the children of Israel in the wilderness. An old man holding up his hands does not cause an army to win a battle. If that is natural, then Zelensky could just put up his hand and stop the Ukrainian war. Right? Praise the Lord. Nothing happened. But God overruled for the children of Israel in the battle with the Amalekites, right? Hor and Aaron, I believe it is, hold Moses' hand up and they defeated the Amalekites. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, man. No, he can overrule any of the natural laws. Nothing like that, you know. Now, and the pillars of fire and smoke don't just wander in the wilderness to lead millions of people across. But God appear as pillar of fire in it and cloud and led them for 40 years in the wilderness, talking God overruling natural laws and so on, you know. Thick city walls don't just fall down flat for an invading army to take that city, do they? If so, it doesn't happen in the natural, right? But the city of Jericho, I mean the walls of Jericho, further God overruled, right?
Amen.
Yeah, he transcended that law, you know, and it was further flat. And Joshua and his army and son of Israel to the city of Jericho. Anyway, so we see armies don't just lay down their arms to 300 men, thinking they hear a multitude. But God overruled that kind of natural law and so on, that, you know, so that, you know, in the days of Gideon, the Midianites were defeated. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God transcended that kind of law and so on, that, you know. The sun and the moon don't just stand still because a man told them to do it. Do they? They don't. But in Joshua, at least in 10, 12 and so on, when Joshua says, sun and moon, stand over the valley of Gideon and stand over Gibeon and stand over the valley of Ajal. And they did, amen? Praise the Lord. God overruled. In fact, you know, the Bible says, never has God heard the voice of a man that he did that day. Praise the Lord. Transcending natural laws, right? You know, so we see. Now, one man can kill 1,000 with nothing, but the jaw, bone of an ass. Can he? But God overruled, transcended that law and so on. And of course, Samson did. Praise the Lord. Rocks, from slings, don't kill a battle-hardened warrior 6 feet tall. I mean, it's not natural for that to happen just by rock from a sling. But the law of the supernatural, the days of David, God overruled, transcended that law. So little David brought down Goliath. Praise the Lord. With rocks. People throw into the furnaces, burn up, don't they? They just burn up. But God transcended that law. And the three evil children, you know, did not burn, you know, in the fiery furnace of Babylon. In the cabinet of finished burning. So transcended that natural law. In fact, when they were thrown in there, we were told, in fact, they just walked down. There's not even a sink in their hair. Praise the Lord. Transcending natural law. I mean, furnaces burn people up, but God can transcend that, as you know. And people throwing lions then, God eating up, don't they? Mm-hmm. But God transcended that law for Daniel the prophet, right? And they couldn't eat him up. Talking about transcending natural law. If you like, we call them miracles, right? That's right. So that's true. Anyway, Iron don't flow on water, do they? Not like they sink, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the days of Elisha the prophet and so forth, and the sons of the prophets, oh master, where we are living now is too small for us. Come and go with this. It's a people's prophet, right? So he went with them, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cutting wood and so on. One of the people and so on, the head of the iron head of the thing fell into the river. Oh master, it was borrowed. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No trouble, son. Put it down there. Iron floated, right? I mean, transcending the natural laws. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See, that is what I'm talking about this morning. Anyway, so fire doesn't just come down from heaven and consume sacrifices, but God overruled. And it happened at Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel. A jar of oil doesn't keep on replenishing itself, forever, but God transcended that law. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And for the widow of Zarephath, it did happen and so on. And even it happened, it happened for the Shunammite woman too, and something like that, it happened there and something like that, Now, dead boys don't get up and walking around like that, but God overruled, transcended that law and so on. And no precedence, in the days of Elijah, and the son of the woman was raised from the dead. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, happened and so on like that, Even the same thing with the widow of Zarephath and so on like that, the Lord and so on did that and so on. Ravens don't just feed people. Any here, just you go to the other and wait, raven come and feed you, right? That doesn't happen, right? But we know he did for Elijah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God overruled that. We're talking about, transcending natural laws, right? So, I do it for Elijah. Rain doesn't just stop for 3 years because a man told it to do they? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Did it for Elijah. And then come back again when the man tried to come back. That's not natural, but Elijah, so God overruled that. After Elijah prayed, rain came back and so on. It's actually, dipping in a dirty river. Don't clean leper or their prophecy, do they? I don't think so. No, but God overruled that law under the ministry of Elijah. Naaman, the Syrian general, leprous and so on like that, the prophet of Magbe, go deep yourself 7 times. He was being heard as false. When he obeyed, so naturally God transcended that law and leprosy was gone. Praise the Lord. That's how God was naturally. A dead man said, boom. Doesn't raise a man from the dead, do they? Praise the Lord. But God translated that law. You see, he overrode it. The sepulchre of Elijah, when he attempted to bury a dead man, touched Elijah's bone. He rose up. I was away from the dead, right? Transcending natural laws, right? Water does not become wine without grapes, do they? No. But praise the Lord. God said that rule or law at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. There are 6 water pots in there. Pour in water and draw. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And when they did that, it was wine. Oh, take it to the governor of the feast. Oh, why do you bring the best wine? After the whole thing, and so on. So it happened as soon. Trusted natural law. Call them miracles, right? Blind man don't just see because someone touched their hand, touched their body, their hands. Many of them saw what the Lord did. Now, lepers don't just go, with a clean skin because someone told you to show yourself to the high priest, right? They don't just do that. But God turned that law, and then when the Lord says so, they were healed and so on. Blood doesn't just stop flowing. Because a bleeding person, have been bleeding for a long time, who has seen many physicians, without any help and so on, they don't stop because you touch somebody's pants or garment and something like that, But the man, the issue of blood, God translated that law, right? Natural law and so on. The blood stopped after so many, I don't know how many years, I can see how many 12 years or something like that. So God transcended that law and so on, and the one with the issue of blood, was healed and so on. Anyway, big storms Don't just talk because someone talks to them, do they? Otherwise, all the hurricane destroying, all these things would have been stopped by somebody talking to them, right? Praise the Lord. For God can turn that law. You know, peace be still. That was a great calm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What manner of man is they that even the winds obey him? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Transcending natural laws, right? You know, people can't just walk on water. You know, they sink, right? But God overruler. So Christ and Peter did, right? And the dead don't just get up from the grave when they've been dead for 4 days, do they? No. But God turned that law, natural law, and so on, that because, and he told Lazarus, come forth, be there for 4 days, right? And he that was there, and he came, he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came, bound with a grave cloth and so on, that. Loose him, let him go. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is, it translated the natural law. People don't die for 4 days, and then they just, that just come up like that and so on, like that, you know, it doesn't happen that way. God translated all those laws and so forth and that, you know. So, so let me see here. There are many of them. Let me just put in one more. When hairs are cut off, you can't just put them back like that. Can you? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. And yet, God overruled, God of Gethsemane and so forth. The servant of the high priest, one of the servants just cut his hair off. Let your put it back and so on. Now say, putting your sword to the shield, they that took the sword perished by the sword. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Creator, transcending the laws of nature and so on. That, you know? And shackles, don't just fall off on the prisoners and, open the prison doors, just like that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But God overruled many times in the Bible, you know, in Peter, Acts chapter 12, before Peter, Acts 16, for Paul and Silas. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Transcending, overruling natural laws, right?
Mm.
You know, God Almighty and some of that, you know. So we can keep on going. It's all about the Bible, transcending natural laws, right? None of these things that I talked about this morning and even more, you know, happen naturally. It's just not natural to be that way. But God created the natural, right? He is the Lord of it. The natural must obey him, amen? So it happened anyway. He has eternal purposes and plans. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot do if it will advance his kingdom and is in accord with his will.
Mm.
He will always transcend any of the natural laws which his normal way of working in order to accomplish his moral, spiritual purposes and eternal plans. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let us see some things what prayer can do. Prayer is possible. So they put in prayer here. Prayer is possible because God is Almighty, the sovereign of all his works. Prayer releases God's power. See? Prayer always has the possibility to cooperate with God's eternal purpose and to secure the miracle power of God. God does not guarantee a miracle because you pray all the time and so on. But God is always open to our prayer for his will to prevail to his glory. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Prayer is God's ordained way to bring his miracle power to bear in human need. How about faith too? So you see, that's one way you can transcend natural laws, right? By prayer, amen? Praise the Lord. Faith will do it too, you know. Faith comes when we understand the natural world works the way it does because the Almighty God told it to. Amen? And when you know that, and that that natural thing must obey God when he wants it to operate differently. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? That's right. That's what it is. And so on that, you know. Yeah. Faith comes when we understand that the natural world works the way it does because the Almighty God who created it told it to do. And that it must obey God when he wants it to operate differently. Our faith brings God into action on our behalf. Because the Lord Jesus said in John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, even if it means to transcend natural laws, right? Praise the Lord. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that your Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Even if it means transcending natural laws, right? If it will be according to his glory and promote his kingdom. Praise the Lord. I will do it. So when we were of this world, you know, we belong to it, right? In other words, when we belong to the world, we had to obey these natural laws all the time, right? Because we just belong to the world and so on. We had to obey the natural order of things, you know, all the time when we were of this world, because we were subject to those things, you know, and we were his servants, you know, we become servants of the natural laws, right? Before we were born again, right? But when we were bought by Christ, we became servants, not of the natural order of things, but the servant of the living God, amen? Amen. Who is the Lord of all. So we see, as God's children then, though we are in the world, we are no longer of the world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even our Lord himself told us the same thing in John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? We don't serve the world anymore as God's children. We serve the one who the world and nature must obey. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because the creator of them, right? So, in Romans 8:15, ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So, as his adopted sons and heirs, and so on, that the natural world must obey us too. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, transcending natural laws, right? Because we are God's children, we are heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ plainly stated this truth in the case of the cursed fig tree, meaning that we as God's children, we can also transcend natural laws if it's in line with the divine purpose and plan of God. In the case of the cursed fig tree, Matthew 21 verse 18, now in the morning, you know the story, I just caught it somewhere here. In the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but the leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, meaning immediately, the fig tree withered away. You know, and verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Amen. Transcending natural laws when you are the will of God, right? You know, that can do. So we know that fig trees don't just naturally dry up, do they? They don't. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of nature, the creator of nature, right? You know, meaning the way the things are as well. When he speaks, everything must obey him. And he said that if we too have faith, then, you know, they will obey us too. Because we are of God now, we are his children, we are heirs of God, we are joint here with him. So we can also transcend natural laws, right? In as much it doesn't contradict anything about the Lord and so on. But our faith, what is happening here is this now to the children of God. Our faith is hampered by our faith in the natural. You see, we always start to the natural one, right? You know, that's what happened, our faith and so on, that, you know. So to the natural and so on. Nature always behaves like it does because we have not commanded it to do so. We didn't command it to do so because we don't command it to do so. So it's always doing that and that, you know. That's why, for example, we can't walk on water when it is needed, because we have faith more in the water the way it works than having faith in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it is, and so on like that, you know. Yeah, don't forget, it doesn't transcend the natural law for no purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. It must fulfill an eternal purpose and the will of God. Praise the Lord. So that's why, you know, we have faith. You have faith that chair won't break, right? So you are sitting on it, right? Praise the Lord. Peter had faith, right? Yeah, the Lord said, oh, you of little faith. Yeah. When he was, Lord, is it did? If it did, bid me to come. I was walking on water for a while, right? Having faith, right? He had faith, transcending. He himself was doing what Christ was doing, right? He was transcending the law of gravity, right? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Until a certain time, when he now see the sea boisterous, he now had more faith in the boisterous oceans, right? Mm-hmm. Than the faith in Christ. And begin to sink. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, you can, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's wrap this up by coming back to the law of gravity again. In John 16:21, the law overruled gravity. You know, the disciples and so on. Bible says, John 16:21, then they willingly received him into the boat, or into the ship, rather. And immediately the ship was on land, whither they went. Many, many miles and so on. Not only the people, the boat itself defied gravity and was moved. They have been rowing all night, right? In the storm and everything like that, you know. So when he went, got into the boat, immediately the Bible said the ship was on the other side of that, you know. God, you know, transcend gravity, he overruled it and so on. That, you know, is the creator and so forth. Now, one man, you know, in Acts 8:39, man called Philip and so on. And the Bible says Philip went to Samaria and so on and preached the gospel to them and so on. There was much, much joy in that city and Acts chapter 8 and so on. All of a sudden, God called him out of that crusade and so on to go and meet this Ethiopian eunuch and so on. Well, you know the story about that, so I don't waste time on that. And after he has ministered to that Ethiopian woman, found him reading the book of Isaiah. Understand that what thou readest, and that man say, how can I except somebody teach me? Bible says he then took it from where he was reading and preached Christ unto him. And then the man asked Philip, can I be baptized? He said, you can if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, right? And they stopped by the Lord and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thereafter, as he went out of the water and baptized the deceased in Acts 8:39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Enoch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. In other words, he has been in the shadows for many, many miles, right? God, for a purpose, just to help his evangelist, right? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Transcended gravity. God's really took him up over many miles and so on that, you know. And so we see that here. The Lord himself, the creator of heaven and earth. In Acts 1:9, after he has finished, after the resurrection, so the Bible says, and when he had spoken to his disciples these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Where was gravity? Amen. Praise the Lord. He transcended his gravity and so on like that. He was taken up and so on like that, you know, and overriding the natural laws and so on like that, you know. One of these days, we also will transcend gravity through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anything now, the day and the hour, we don't know. Praise the Lord. But we know we are in that season. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Transcending the laws of nature. As well as that, you know. So, brother and sister, we are no longer servants to the natural laws. You know, but not really. so it must obey us too. as according to the providence of God. They must obey us too. When we find ourselves confronted with the impossible, if we find ourselves believing something is impossible, that's not the time to try to draw more faith in yourself. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So that means that another way of looking at that is that faith is a manifestation of the hope you have within yourself, the hope in Christ. Praise the Lord. Another way to define faith, hope in Christ. Faith is a fruit of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way of looking at it, it is not something that you can just work up in yourself, you know, and it is not something someone can just inspire by sharing you all. No. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the Bible says. It is the manifestation of the things we don't see. It is the evidence that Jesus Christ is dwelling in you and working in you, in your life. Praise the Lord. Another viewpoint of faith. Yes, manifestation. The evidence that the Lord Jesus is indwelling in you and working in your life. See, we don't have faith because we think we are somebody. We don't. We have faith because we understand that Christ is in us and his power is absolute. Amen?
Amen.
So the natural world must obey us because it must obey Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. That's why you have to obey us, not because of ourselves, you know, and all that, you know. Let me just wrap up with this this thing here. There is such a thing called supernatural eyesight. What is it? Supernatural eyesight is understand what I've been saying all morning long, understanding who God is, and understanding that the natural world, you know, must obey the supernatural God. Amen?
Amen.
And then more about that. It is knowing that this natural world seems real to people because our minds have faith in it. But if our faith in God is greater than the faith we have in the natural thing, there is nothing that will be impossible unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So we tie so much to the way the natural thing works, we don't even look at God. So anyway, so when your faith is greater, supernatural eyesight is having the reality in your, you know, in your spirit that God's desire is to have a living, vibrant, intimate relationship with us. And through that relationship, to enable you and I to see things that no one else can see. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Let me say that again. It means that it means that having and the reality in your spirit, in my spirit, that God's desire is for you and I, you know, to have a living, God wants to have a living, vibrant, intimate relationship with you and I, and through that we can see things that other people cannot see. It is understanding, as Paul did, that the former things that meant so much to us are worthless in the face of the living God who created them all. He said, I count all things but dung. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the financial eyesight, right? You know, people who attached to the things of this world say, I count them but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the financial eyesight. Praise the Lord. They hold to this world as if they're going to live forever. No. Unless they have eternal life. Praise the Lord. It is knowing that no matter, financial eyesight, it means no matter what you and I know, we are not yet perfect. And our calling beckons us to press in further. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's financial eyesight. Praise the Lord. No matter what you think you know, or I know, and some of us you know, our calling, mandates that we press in further with you know, to God. It is understanding that no matter how deep you and I get into God, no matter how intimate we relate to Him, no matter how profound your understanding, my understanding, there is always more.
Amen.
There is always another level to get into God. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't make a shipwreck. People who did that, they shipwreck. Amen? They think they have found everything out. You think they figure it all out? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? Now, supernatural eyesight. Now, finishing here, something like that, you know. So, and supernatural eyesight is gained by what the Lord told us, by giving up our faith in the natural world and giving up everything that holds us to it.
Mm.
It is completely immersing ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and depending upon Him as the source of all blessings in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It is seeking Him, like He told us, with all our hearts, all our mind, and all our soul, and all our spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He that believeth on me, John 14:12. The what I do, which I do also, and even greater work than this. Praise the Lord. Transcending natural law. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. As He is, so are we in this world, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord God. Not only have you created us in your own image, you have empowered us, Lord. And the God of this world does not have dominion over us. Rather, little children, ye have overcome the wicked one. The natural laws are even subject unto us according to the divine way in our lives. Lord, as we go about this morning, meditating upon these things, and we can tap into it by prayer and by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, subject to the divine way. The Lord said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. So we should learn to do nothing but what the Holy Ghost will instruct us to do. Then, when it is time to transcend natural laws, then it will be in the will of God. So we thank you this morning. Nothing shall be impossible unto us as we walk with the Lord day by day, as we press further in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle say, not because I've already attained, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May this be our thinking, the mind of Christ, every passing day, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning. We worship you. All things are possible unto us according to the word of the Lord as we walk daily with Him. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.